traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Welcome to the International Equine Network. This is Scott Miller, founder of the International Equine Network. And we're glad to have you join us on this holiday weekend. Hope everybody's doing well at your place. Hope the coronavirus has not affected your families or your friends. And hope you really enjoy yourselves. So what it's all about is getting together and, you know, enjoying everything that's going on. On today's program, we're going to do a little kind of a year-end walkthrough of what we've done so far. You know, here for the last year, we've been working on a lot of things here with the International Equine Network, laying a foundation to what we were trying to do in our mission statement. And our mission statement is that we help facilitate equine information through video, internet, and print for distribution. And that's one of the problems that the equine industry has had for years, even without the COVID. It's always been about distribution. And a lot of the facilities that you go to see an equestrian event at depended on on-site attendance. And that was really a big thing. The television market and radio market were not into the equine industry because you're basically competing against college football, NFL football, NBA, baseball, NASCAR, you know, that type of thing. And then one thing that stood out to a lot of the sponsors over the last year have been the ability for the equine industry to conduct their programs and their events even with the COVID. The equestrian industry sat down and figured it all out, you know, how they have to do and what they have to do. And the great thing about it was is that they made a big difference in the livelihoods of everybody that was in the equine industry. And they realized real quick that if you're in the equine industry, you touch every business that you're in the facilities and the events that you're at in that community. The equestrians, they go to the Burger Kings, into the Kentucky Fried Chickens. They go to the Walmart. They buy gas. They go to the laundromat. They literally touch every business that's available in that community with the equestrians that come to that event. And so having said that, the television and radio industry realize that there is a market here, and it'll be an ongoing market, both domestic and international. And what we do here at International Equine Network is we try to cover all breeds. That's one of our big, you know, big assets, I would say. We try to get behind the scenes to all the breeds, all the different disciplines, and make good programming. And the way we do that is we get in touch with, for example, we'll say Quest for Equine Gold is one of our programs that we have here. And what we do is we connect with FEI and the USEF organizations, and they're already in the process of producing their programming. And distribution for them has been difficult because the networks are constantly raising the prices, charging an exorbitant amount of money, you know, just to get a half hour or an hour on there. And so what I do here at the International Equine Network is I've come up with 11 different segments that we're going to do every week on our programming here starting in January. The segments that we have here gives you a brief report on what that segment is, and then what we do is we tell you what's coming on that week. Let's say, for example, Last Call. Last Call is a live equestrian sales programs from all breeds from all over the world. And for example, we're going to give you our June 6th schedule that's coming up. Here, June 6th on last call, if you come to our website, you'll see the California Breeders Association January mix sale in Pomona, California. That comes on January 6th. January 11th through the 14th, we have the Keeneland January Horses of All Ages sale in Lexington, Kentucky. On January 15th and 16th, we have the Heritage Place Winter Mix Sale in Oklahoma City. So, you know, we've kind of crisscrossed the country here in the United States. And then we also go to Europe. We'll have like the live horse auctions from Goss in the UK and Ireland. And it's very interesting to go and watch because some of these horses are selling for millions of dollars. But we take you right to the venue. We take you right in. We have their video that we are broadcasting, and we will be talking about the sales as they go along. And you see who sells and who doesn't, where they're going, and who's racing and who's not. Those are the kind of things that we're doing on last call. And so that's all over the world, all breeds all over the world. Again, part of our mission statement for distribution of information on the horse industry. And that's the program. It's called Last Call, and it's a live program. And the live programs can start here in the States as early as 4 o'clock in the morning because we'll be dealing with people in Europe and South America and Eastern Europe. And so, you know, that comes on early, so you got to get up early, you know, to catch Last Call. But it is an all-day thing. Here in the States, it's a regular time, 1 o'clock, you know, sales time to see a lot of the sales here in the U.S. And staying along with that same theme, we have a program called Quest for Equine Gold. Quest for Equine Gold is about the FEI and USEF organizations that they sanction show horses all over the world. And they have a phenomenal organization from the little kids and inexperienced horsemen up to the Olympic riders. The associations, both of them, if you go to their websites, you will find out that all the information that you need there. They'll tell you how to register a horse. They'll tell you how to fill out all the paperwork. They'll tell you where the different shows are, both domestic and international. It's a phenomenal, they're phenomenal websites. And what I like about it is if you've got a problem, and let's say, for example, if you're trying to register a horse for, you know, certain discipline or shows, you can log on to their websites or call their organization, and they have somebody there that will sit down with you and go over what you need to do and how you need to do it. They talk about vaccinating your horses. They talk about medications that you're allowed to use. You know, they just walk you right through the whole program. They help you with shipping and transportation rules and regulations, which is very important, you know, when you go to travel, especially when you're going international on there. The other thing I like about it is their news desk. FEI and USEF have a news desk that you can go there and you can find out what's going on anywhere in the world at any event. And the writers and the information they put out makes you feel like you're right there, you know, on site with them. So that's what I, you know, the importance of going to their website. And the other thing is they have a little icon you can click on, and it says horse shows or horse events in your area. You click on that, you end up putting in a zip code or a town, and they can tell you what equestrian events are in your area. And that makes it nice when you're looking for something to do, you know, during the week. And you don't have to be a horseman to go to these websites. You know, anybody can go to it, and it's good entertainment when you go to the websites because you can see who's doing what, you know, where they're going, how they're doing. You can see how the horses are bought and sold. There's how they're trained, what kind of equipment they wear, the kind of horseshoes they have. They're really good sites. That's the FEI and USEF websites on there. And the other important thing about it is what you'll really follow is if you like horse shows and you like the three-day eventing, you go to those websites and they keep you updated on the 2021 Olympics in Tokyo, Japan. It's really a good site to go to. And you can see where all the horses are qualifying that go to the Olympics. They have to qualify and get so many points and do so many things, so many events to qualify for the Olympics. And you'd be surprised. There might be an event in your area and you don't know it because, like I said before, the information that is being distributed has distribution very little. And what we're trying to do is get everybody out to visit and see what's going on, you know, in their area. But if you go to those websites, they'll tell you, and there could be a show in your area. And a lot of times these shows are free to go to. And then usually they're every weekend, Thursday through Sunday. So that's on Quest for Equine Gold. And then our next program that we have is called Chukar. Chukar is an increment of time that is played on the polo fields when they're playing polo. And Chukar is domestic and international. It's live and tape programming. And what I like about it is if you go to www.chukartv.com, you can tune in all probability, there's a live polo match somewhere in the world on that 7 days a week. It's very good. It's informative. It's from all over the world. They'll tell you who's playing where, who's winning, who's losing. They have interviews with the riders. They have interviews with the grooms, the owners, the trainers. It's a phenomenal website to go to, especially when you get on there and you start to watch them play polo and it's all live. And with the live feed that you're getting, you know, you know that it's like watching ESPN, you know, a live program on ESPN. You go literally out to the polo fields. And this is all free. You go to our website and, you can either click on it, Chukar on our website, or you can go to, www.chukartv.com and you can see polo everywhere. And it's amazing in the polo arena, how many people, that are playing polo, movie stars, bankers, athletes, of all sports, men, women, kids, indoor, outdoor polo. It's just a phenomenal sport. And the best way really to, watch polo, if you can't attend, is on Chukar TV because it's a huge field that they have to play on, to play polo. And if you're physically at the site, you gotta have binoculars, you know, there. But if you watch Chukar TV, they get up close and in person with everybody that's involved in, you know, in Chukar. And that, like I said, that's on our website, 7 days a week, 24 hours to seven. There's somebody on there playing polo live. That's chukartv.com. Then our next little program that we have here is called At the Wire. In the United States and in Europe, At the Wire was named because it's a thoroughbred show, and we wanted to let people know who's at the wire, meaning who finished first in the race. And so what we do on At the Wire is we provide links to all the racetracks that are racing, live racing, in the U.S. and international. And you can go on there and you can click on to At the Wire and you'll see what tracks are available, such as Churchill Downs, Gulfstream, Keeneland, Tampa Bay, Santa Anita, Woodbine in Canada, Ascot in Europe. You know, we have everything that you could probably, you know, want to see. You have a lot of South America racing that are there. And one thing that's good about the South American racing is a lot of the programming comes in Spanish. And and our shows that come from France come in French. So, you know, you don't have to worry about a language barrier. It is in French and English, Spanish and English. And that's what, you know, what we do at the Wire. We have interviews with the trainers. We have race replays. We have any and everything you could want to know about that track. It's going to link you to it. And on those links, they can give you the entries for that day, for tomorrow. They can give you past results at that track if you want to find out the results. It can give you the location of the track, the hotels that are around the track, the things that they're due around the track. All these websites have really improved themselves over the last year or two about, you know, accommodating the potential of visitors coming to the track. A lot of our tracks that we go to have what they call backside tours. Is if you're going out for a day at the races, let's say on Saturday morning, you can go to Churchill Downs, for example, and they have what they call a backside tour. And what they do is they come in and they take you around to the different barns, and you can see the horses and trainers up close. You can watch them go out to the track. They explain to you what the, you know, what they're doing in the training. Some horses will just be galloping at a slow pace, and that's when they're conditioning the horses. You might see some horses out there that that are what they're going to do. They're going to work them, and when they work them a short distance, like an eighth of a mile, 3/8 of a mile, half mile, mile. They work them, and it's like getting them ready for a race. It's tuning them up for the race that's coming up. And so the backside tours, they explain that to you. They explain to you the history of the racetrack. You know, when it was built, who owns it, what they're doing, upcoming things. They'll tell you about, like, Churchill, they'll tell you about the Kentucky Derby. Is, you know, they have a good historical, presentation of the Kentucky Derby. They have the Derby Museum there, which is excellent. You know, that's worth the tour in itself, just to go in and see the history of the Kentucky Derby, of how many horses have won, how many fillies have won, how many geldings have won, how many trainers have won the Derby multiple times. You know, these are the things that they do, you know, at the museum. They also have souvenirs there that you can get, and, you know, it's really worthwhile. And one of the things that I always like about it is 9 times out of 10, when you go to the track, they'll take you to what they call the trackside or backside kitchen. And you can go in there and you can sit down and you can get a good home-cooked meal, you know, right there at the track. And you sit in amongst the jockeys and the owners and the trainers. And, you know, it's really a great time, great food. And it's very inexpensive, you know, to go to. And then after you've had your breakfast, they take you over to the grandstands, and they show you the grandstands of the facility. And then at usually around noon or 1 o'clock, the races start, and you can enjoy a good afternoon of racing there. And so that's one of the things that we do on at the Wire. You can go to the website, and you can look and go to any facility that you want, both domestic and international, you know, to see what they're doing there. And that's at the Wire. Then next we go to Flying Turns. Flying Turns is about the standard bred industry. These are the horses that pull the little jog carts and race bikes that you see, like, at the Meadowlands and Yonkers and over in Europe. And one of the things that I'm really keen on is getting information to the public. And if you get to our website and you go down to the show Flying Turns, we have two links on there. One link will go to the U.S. Trotting Association, and that U.S. Trotting Association is what governs the whole body for the harness, the standard bred or the harness industry. They have links on there. You can see who's racing at what track. You can go to how to own a horse. There's so many things that you can do on this website. It's just phenomenal. And if you get interested in buying a horse, or following a horse, you can do it right on the U.S. Trotting Association's website. There, they give you up to date on everything that's going on about races, upcoming races, history, horse sales, who's winning, who's losing. It's very informative at U.S. Trotting. But the one that I really like the best, and it's good reading, is called harnesslink.com. And if you go to harnesslink.com, you can see all the daily news from the standard bred industry all around the world. You can go to New Zealand, Australia. You can go to Europe, the U.K. They cover it all. And they had some of the best writers in the world on the harness industry. And one of the people that helped me get Flying Turn started was a gentleman by the name of Steve Wolf. And Steve Wolf has done just about any and everything that you could do in this business. He's a Hall of Fame writer from the Harness Association writers. And he's got his thumb on everything. You can talk all day and you can talk history from 100 years ago, and Steve knows about those horses. He also knows what's going on internationally. I think that as long as I've known Steve, I think he's probably more of an international expert than he is a domestic expert. He's fantastic and he's great as far as, racing in the U.S. is concerned, but he knows people around the world, and they know him. That's the important thing. They know him, and he can tell you the history of races. He can tell you so much, about that. And if you go to harnesslink.com, you can see the articles that he's written and what he's doing. And that's fantastic. He's really good at it. And if he doesn't know the answer, he knows somebody that knows the answer. And that's what I like about Steve. He's a very good guy, a good family man, and a Hall of Famer. That's all I can say about Steve. So that's Flying Turns. You can find all the updates. Who's going to be running in the Hambletonian, which is like the Kentucky Derby for standard breds, the Little Brown Jug, the Jugette. There's so many big races that are there, that you can go to, and you'll find it right there on Flying Turns. The next segment that we're going to, it's called Chuck Wagon. And Chuck Wagon is a little project that I threw together one day. I was shipping horses all over the country and over to Europe and into Hong Kong. And every place I went, there was a common thread. That common thread that I noticed was the food vendors. The food vendors that were at every equestrian event. And it went from private vendors all the way up to commercial vendors. And, so it started making me think about, what you do there. And when you're in the horse business and you're somewhere all day long, it makes it difficult to eat. You just can't do like you do at home, get up and eat breakfast and then eat lunch and then eat dinner, because your events dictate to you what time you eat during the day. Not everybody can eat at noon, we'll say, for lunch. And so I started looking at it, and I started talking to the different people. And the commercial vendors that were there, they have it all down, and, they got the big bus, and, they got everything that you could want, there. And it's pretty, can get pretty pricey and all. And then as I noticed traveling around the events grounds, about a lot of people were in the RVs. And they were in their RVs, and they were cooking, and they were doing their breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And it was a wide variety of things that, you know, that you could get a hold of. And the day that got me interested in chuckwagon the most was I was up in Lexington, Kentucky for the Rolex three-day event. It's at the end of April. And there's 100,000 people at the horse park, and it was huge. But I noticed the same thing. Four or five of the event participants were in RVs, and most of them were Keystone Montana RVs, which I really push on the show because it's the best RV on the market right now. And if you go to our site, you'll see the Keystone Montana link. And you can see the video of how they make them and what they have. But back to the Lexington story. And what was really nice is there were five trailers in a row that were there, RVs, that all in a row. And so as I walked past, I noticed that one of the RVs, they were making treats. They were making cupcakes and cakes and cookies and it really looked good. And then I saw another one that was there. They were doing just the side dishes, macaroni and cheeses and, you know, the baked beans and the vegetables and everything. And that's what the second trailer was, you know, they were doing. And then they had two other trailers there that were doing the main entree, as they say, the main dish. And, you know, they had one trailer there that was doing hamburgers and hot dogs and, you know, that type of thing. And then they had another one that was doing steaks and chicken and ribs, you know, that type of thing. And it really was interesting to see how they all kind of came together. And it was interesting that a lot of the food that was being cooked were home recipes by that person that owned that RV. You know, as far as like the baking of the cakes and the pies and, you know, that type of thing, they had their own recipe. And so I said, wow, I said, this is really interesting. And I said, I think I see a TV show here. You know, we'll call it Chuckwagon. And every week we'll have a person on Chuckwagon that can show us how to complete their recipe. It's a little short segment, 8 to 10 minutes long. And they're going to come in and they're going to show you how to make a lot of things. And one of the first things that I learned to make was in a slow cooker. And it was interesting because breakfast is really big to me. You start your day off, you know, with a good breakfast. And I saw one of the people at the horse park, and they had a slow cooker, and it was in the afternoon. And so I was kind of curious, and we got to talking. And they told me, they said, this is our breakfast for tomorrow. They said, what we do is we mix up all the ingredients for a good breakfast the next morning. And then when we come in, go to bed at night, so they flip on the slow cooker. And when they get up in the morning before they go to their event, it's all it's completely done. It's a full breakfast that anybody would love. And the great thing about it is you can take as much of it as you want or as little as you want, and you still get to start your day off with a good hot breakfast. And so that just really kind of amazed me, you know, to see that happen. And then this young lady told me, she said, the other thing that we do is when we get through with breakfast, she said, we can actually start our slow cooker for that night's meal. She said there's a million things that they can do in that slow cooker for a good meal that night. And the whole point of this is they're getting good nutrition. They're getting it when they want it and how they want it. And the other thing is that it's very inexpensive, you know, because you're cooking at home. And that's what I like about that. And then on Chuckwagon, during the race season, We'll come to a lot of different racetracks, like say at Derby time or Breeders' Cup time. We'll take you in and we'll show you what it's called, Breakfast at the Breeders' Cup. It's a very good good program about people that are going to the Breeders' Cup and how they have breakfast, whether it's in an RV, whether it's at their hotel, the track, or a restaurant. It's very interesting to see, because there's a lot of places around, the different equestrian events that are icons. There's a place in Kentucky, in Louisville, Kentucky, called Wagner's. It's been there forever. It's right across the street from Churchill Downs. And people would go over there, and they would just line up and just wait. Nothing fancy, no big deal. But the food was good. It was good Southern cooking. And, it was inexpensive. It was kind of a thing, to go there. And just about every track has a track kitchen or has a restaurant close to it that, they can recommend you to go to. And so on Chuckwagon, you're going to see a lot of things, about the cooking and the equestrian industry. You'll see it'll blow your mind, to see, because it's something you really don't think about. You take for granted. You just get up and go. A lot of people go through drive-through at McDonald's or Burger King or, get something quick. But what I like about Chuckwagon is this is all home-cooked meals, and it's to your liking. Now, that's on Chuckwagon. That comes on. It's a 30-minute program, and it's very good to see. And we're going to have a lot of YouTube channels for all these shows. But Chuckwagon is the first one that we'll have a YouTube up for. And then after Chuckwagon, one thing that I like to do, especially here at the holiday season, I've got a segment on our website. It's about equestrian movies. And you'll see any and everything from Western to racehorses to show horses to just the backyard horse and the wild Mustangs. And they're very informative. They're all family friendly on there. And we change it every Wednesday. This week we've got a Christmas Christmas show on, which is a good movie. It's about an hour and 23 minutes long, and it's something that I think the whole family would like to sit down and watch and enjoy. And then next week we'll be releasing our movie schedules for the month of January. The month of January is a good month because we can start bringing out different types of horses, horse movies. For example, we're going to have a documentary. It's a little over an hour long. It's on Secretariat. It goes behind the scenes, and it tells you exactly, what made Secretariat run, the problems they had, the financial difficulties that they had getting the horse to the races. It's a really good documentary. Then we have some documentaries that will be coming up towards the end of the month of January. They're about the show horse industry, how difficult it is to get horses to the Olympics. And one of the things that a lot of people don't understand is it takes years to develop these show horses. You're looking at 4, 5, 6 years. A good show horse, starts coming around between the ages of 8 and 10. When they really get seasoned, really get good, and we take the documentary look at the show horse industry. We also do one on Flying Turns, which is just a great historical, and shows you how important the standard bred horse was in the development of our country. Everybody used to get around from place to place, usually generally with a standard bred. And that was, interesting when we started getting into it, and the historical value of the standard bred. And they're all good, like I said, family movies, that type of thing. We have one movie that's coming up, and it'll be about the wild Mustang, how they survived all the years that they have, and how they have a Mustang move every year, and they go out and they catch a lot of Mustangs, and they bring them back, and they domesticate them. And so it's really good there. So we got a lot of good movies coming up. And then one of the things that we'll do, and we'll go behind the scenes on a segment, is called Farm of the Week. Farm of the Week is a program that we take you behind the scenes and to the farm on a virtual tour. You can go and see exactly what that farm looks like, you know, what they're doing, the day-to-day life on the farms. And it's show horses, race horses, quarter horses, any type of horse farm we go to. And that's what makes this program interesting, is because thoroughbred farms are really different from standardbred farms and show horse farms, that type of thing. And the thing that we do here is we don't go to the big, well, we do go to the farms that have produced all the world and national champions, derby winners, you know, that type of thing. But the part I really like about it, you know, Farm of the Week, is when we go to the small farms. When you go out there and you see a farm that's got 3-4 horses maybe, and they're competing, we'll say, for example, in the show horse industry, they're competing at Wellington, Florida, and they've only got 3 horses in the barn, you know, opposed to having 20 or 30 or 100 horses, you know, that type of thing. We even go to one farm that just has the 1 horse, and their routine and the things that they do there are no different than what they do, you know, at the big farms. And so that's the Farm of the Week. We get up close and personal with the owners, the trainers, the workers, and show you exactly what it's really like, you know, on a farm, to work on a farm. By the time you get through watching this movie, or the Farm of the Week, you'll probably want to collect a paycheck, because you'll be right in there working with them. And so that's Farm of the Week. Then we go to Equestrian of the Week. And what I do is I selected an equestrian of the week that I think that has contributed to the horse industry, both, you know, from a showing standpoint or racing standpoint, to, you know, what do they do for the industry? You know, how do they do it? What makes them an outstanding person for me to notice them, and for them to receive the Equestrian of the Week award that we give out. And like I said, it's from all different breeds, no one in particular breed. And this is a show that we'd like for the listeners and the viewers to get behind and call and let us know, or email us and let us know if there's an Equestrian of the Week, and why you think they should be an Equestrian of the Week. You know, that's what we're looking for. And that's exciting, because, you know, we're talking about people that are on the way to the Olympics. We're talking about people that are on the way to the Kentucky Derby, or, you know, the Little Brown Jug, or, you know, the World Championships for AQHA. You know, that's what we're looking at there. And speaking of AQHA, we have a show called Quarter Time. Quarter Time follows the American Quarter Horse Association. And that's an exciting organization to watch and to follow, because you're looking at the original cowboys, the American quarter horse, and it's an Olymp. They have Olympic events, you know, with the quarter horses that you can follow, and you know, it's just amazing. They have really good at AQHA.com. They have any and everything that you might want to see on there. They tell you how to, you know, train horses, how you break them to ride, how you shoe them, how they get branded, how you register them. It tells you everything in AQHA about the industry. And again, they have a website that's really helpful to a person that's in the quarter horse business. What they do there at AQHA is they guide you, they direct you, they help you with what you need to get done. If you need a, if you got a horse that has a problem, you can call and you know they'll steer you in the right direction for your area and wherever you're at. Again, their website and their news, you go to them and they can tell you where there's an AQHA, you know, event in your area. And it's really good. And that's on quarter time that we have there. And then, now we're getting into, what I really like, to do. It's called How They Get There. It's a documentary that I started. It's called How They Get There, the 2021 Kentucky Derby. And, what we do is on the website, intv.org, if you go to it, you will see, how they get there. And what it is it starts out, this is the documentary starting out. It says, the journey starts with the owner. And that's where it all starts at. And then we go through and we interview the trainer at the farm, get into their minds and see, you know, why they want to go to the Derby. Are they going to buy a Derby horse? Did they breed a Derby horse on their farm? Are they going to buy into a syndication for a Derby horse? You know, we really get into it, into their mind and just see what makes it go, because you can't get to the Derby without the owner. And a lot of them, there's some people that have a lot of money and say, well, you know, I just wanted to buy a horse and see if I could get him to the Derby. And then there's other owners that have been breeding and you know, developing horses for, you know, many years. And they're just trying to get that, catch that lightning in a bottle and get a horse to the Derby. And then there's the syndications. There's a company called, MyRacehorse.com. And you can get it, you know, I'm not kidding you. You can actually buy into a thoroughbred racehorse and become an owner for $30. For $30. Now, the horse that won the Derby last year, Authentic, had over 5,000 owners that all bought little pieces of them. And it's at myracehorse.com, and they got a good group of horses coming out this year. And the great thing about it is you become an owner and you get an owner's license, and that owner's license gets you into the racetrack. It gets into the racetrack for free. You can go watch them train. You can go to the races. You can go to the clubhouse. There's a lot of things that you can do. And one of the things that they do when they have a lot of owners like MyRacehorse.com is if your horse is racing in that area, they have a lottery, and if they pick your name out, you can go to it. You know, like the Derby, I can't recall how many lottery winners they had from Authentic that won the Derby last year, but there was a certain amount of syndicate holders that got to go to the Kentucky Derby. And it doesn't matter whether you own 1% or 100%, the racetracks the associations treat you just like you're the outright owner. And that's called MyRacehorse.com. And it's all part of being an owner. And like I said, on how they get there, the journey starts with the owner, and that's what that segment's about. The next segment that we jump over and how they get there is you meet the trainer. You go out and we interview different trainers such as Todd Pletcher, B. Wayne Lucas, Bob Baffert, you know, that those kind of trainers. And we interview the small trainers because you don't have to be a superstar trainer to get to the Derby. You know, that horse will carry you right on to the Derby. You just have to manage it. And it's really an interesting, you know, piece called Meet the Trainer. See exactly, you know, what their philosophy is. Now, like on there today, the super trainer is Todd Pletcher. Todd Pletcher's won thousands of races. And I mean, this guy is good. He come up under D. Wayne Lucas. You know, and it was just amazing how he has carried it on. And, you know, he has a huge string of horses. He's got them with at our facility called Palm Beach Downs here. And you can see exactly what he does and how he does it, you know, and what's in his mind about how they get to the Kentucky Derby. So now we got the owner and we got the trainer. We got two people working on getting a horse to the Kentucky Derby. So it adds an interesting page to the story for, you know, going to the Kentucky Derby. Now you have two people that are making and help make decisions on how to get to the Derby. So, you know, now it gets interesting. Then the next segment we have after you met the owner and the trainer, it's about the equine transportation. How do you get your horses to the Kentucky Derby? Do you fly them on a plane? Do you van them? Do you stay there, you know, at the track? There's so many different things that you do when it comes to equine transportation, and it's really important, you know, that you get a good carrier that can get your horse there. You have to go as an owner and trainer and look at the route that they take, you know, about going through the mountains, curves, hills, traffic, heat of the day, you know, that type of thing. So there's a lot of things that goes into the equine transportation end of it. And a lot of people don't realize that how many horses are flying every day all throughout the world. Now, when I was flying horses with Enstone, we flew on Cathay Pacific, and we flew on FedEx. And they had special containers that are built by Giles Enstone, and Enstone Forwarding is the best box builder in the business. Their crew is just unbelievably talented, and I'm proud to say that I was a part of that crew at one time, and flew to Hong Kong and flew to Europe, and I flew here in the U.S. But it's amazing to see how horses travel. I know that a lot of people that might be listening or watching has been up and down the road, and you see a horse in a trailer. Anywhere from an 18-wheeler down to, you know, two-horse or one-horse trailer. And it's amazing how they travel and how comfortable they are when they're traveling, especially when they're flying. When they fly, it's an easy trip for them. Some of them get a little upset, you know, a little distraught, but for the most part, it's good. And same thing with the 18-wheelers. We'll go inside an 18-wheeler and see you know, what it looks like inside, how they load them, how they unload them, you know, about how they transport them, you know, on the ground. And then we go on how we fly horses, going, and you can see how the FedEx MD-11 was configured for horses and only horses, and how they load and how they ship in the containers, and, you know, just exactly what's involved with it. And on the equine transportation end of it, you got to have a good transporter because of the paperwork that's involved. Traveling from state to state, country to country, different rules and regulations that you have to deal with, especially from the medical standpoint, you know, what you have to do as far as, you know, vaccinations and that type of thing is concerned. But that's the equine transportation on how they get there. Then we go to probably, I would say, one of the most important aspects of how they get there. It's the blacksmith. The blacksmith that has to put the shoes on the horses. How fast is the foot growing? How much do they trim off? How often do they get new shoes? What kind of shoes do they get? You know, that's a delicate situation there. And, you know, most owners and most trainers think that they know a lot about shoeing horses. But I'll be honest with you, in the 45 years that I've been in the business, I've learned one thing. You let the blacksmith handle the foot. That's what you do, because they're doing it day in and day out. And they've seen hundreds, if not thousands, of different situations on a horse's foot that they had to try to correct and try to fix. And, you know, you just, that's one person on the track, you leave alone. You leave the blacksmith alone, let him do what he does, you know, and then kind of go from there, because that's an important part of your horse's training. It's the day-to-day protection of the foot. And just leave the blacksmith alone and let him do what he needs to do. You know, so that's the segment that we have on how they get there, the blacksmith. And then the most interesting part of what we're talking about now is feed. How do you feed your horse? A lot of the old timers, you know, just barley and oats, and you know, that basically, you know, was it. And that does work. That does work. There's no certain way to feed a horse. There's no magic potion you can put in that feed. There's no real deal. You got to fit your feed to each individual horse. And that's where it comes in to have a good feed company. And what we do here on how they get there is we go behind the scenes at Whole Way Feeds. And they can feed a horse anywhere in the world. They're international, and they've fed a lot of winners over the years from all breeds, all disciplines. They're very good at what they do. They know the horse, and they know the feed. And when you get ready to sit down and, you know, start planning, your horse's career, the feed becomes an important part of it. And they're the kind of people that can tell you what kind of feed that you need to do in the, in the fall, in the spring, in the summer, in the winter. They know, because they're so well versed in, you know, creating feeds for the horsemen, that's what they do. That's their big thing that they do. And like I said, they can feed a horse anywhere in the world. Because they're an international company, and so the thing I like about it is, you can see them make it, you know, right where it's made at. And if you have to change your feed four or five times over, you know, to get your horse to there, then you can do that. And they're very, very good at what they do, and so that's an important key aspect that goes along with all the other segments that we just talked about. That type of thing. And then last but not least, well, getting close to the last few segments here, for equine sales. That's the thing you got to take on two fronts. The front that you have to look at is when the owner sits down, does he buy a horse at the sales? If he does, what sales does he go to? What sales are known for really, selling, the big time horses? That type of thing. So that's what you look at when you go to the sales. And what you do is you combine the owner and the sales, and then you might breed at the farm. You might do a syndication. There's a lot of things that are involved in the sales. And it could be a very big turning point, for the people that are involved in buying a horse. You have the opportunity to look at these horses at what they call the 2-year-old training sales. They come around in March and April and, in the summertime. And you can actually see, what the horses are like and what they're made out of, because you haven't had to put a lot of time and effort into, raising the horse yourself. That type of thing. It's something that you can go in literally and buy ready-made. And there have been a lot of people that have gone into the sales in March of their 2-year-old year. Buy a 2-year-old, and then 12 months later, they're winning the Kentucky Derby. That's a possibility. That's an important part of the owner and the trainer, getting together and saying, hey, what are we going to do? Syndicate a horse or go to the horse sales? So, that's really, and that's the fun part. And again, it goes back to, we have the show Last Call. You can see how many of these horses sell for $1 million. And if they make it to the Derby. And then the point that we're doing here on how they get there, and we give an update every week, it's called the Kentucky Derby Prep Races. In order to get into Kentucky Derby, you have to qualify with points. And the Kentucky Derby has set up a series of races from the multiple tracks around the world. And if you win the race, you're in. If you win the race, you're in. You gotta get the points. You You got to make the points. And it's a unique system that has come up. And what it's trying to do is get the best of the best by having them qualify, you know, for the Derby prep races. And it's tough on a trainer and an owner because you got to kind of sit down and look at the different tracks. Does my horse like this track? Does he not like it? What's the weather like there? Do we stay there, you know, and train all winter long or all spring or all summer long? You know, there's a lot of things you have to decide in these Derby prep races. You know, what's going to be the best avenue to get your horse there, you know, with them? It's tough because, you know, you could literally show up at one track and you get the top five horses, you know, in the country, show up all at once for, you know, for that purse. And then you got to decide whether you stay, you know, and fight a battle, or whether you go to a smaller race or, you know, lesser race and, you know, season your horse, get it ready, you know, for the Derby. And because that's what you're really looking for. And that's in our segment called the Kentucky Derby Prep Races. And then this is the one that I really do like. We put a lot of thought into this segment, the decision to run in the Kentucky Derby. It's a very difficult situation. It's a lot of money to nominate your horse. It's a lot of money to run him. It's a lot of money to get him there. And so, you know, you don't want to go and run a race that you can't win. Your horse might not be able to get a mile and a quarter, like the Kentucky Derby. You know, but yet again, he might be a little young. He's not seasoned. There's a lot of factors to go into making the decision and running in the Kentucky Derby. And it takes a group effort to it. You know, the owners, they talk to the grooms, they talk to the jockeys, the exercise riders, the blacksmiths, the vet. You know, there's so many things that go into it. And then basically when you get down to the end, it's literally a flip of the coin. You know, whether you go or whether you don't, you know, whether you don't go. And I've seen some of the best horses in the world go into the Kentucky Derby and run up the track. They just couldn't get there with their horses because of, you know, one thing or another. And that's tough. That's tough. And then the last segment in there is the actual 2021 Kentucky Derby. And this documentary hopefully is going to air on the Thursday before the 2021 Kentucky Derby. See the whole hour-long documentary of what's going on and you know, who's there and who isn't. And one of the things that I like about the website that we have is it's getting information out about all the industry, every discipline, every breed, owners, trainers, jockeys, grooms, fans, racetrack, show horse management. We're getting into a lot of things, you know, on the network here. And we would like to hear from you. If you've got an equestrian of the week or farm of the week, or if you've got a feed that you really like, you know, just let us know what it is. If you got shows at your facility, I don't care whether it's a one-horse show or whether it's a 1,000-horse show, just let us know about it. Just go to our website, ientv.org, you know, or you can go to msmtv2019@gmail.com, or you can call us at 561-466-1272. And we would like to hear from you and see what we could do to help get the information out about your program and what you do. That's what we would like to do. If you tune in next Thursday at 1 o'clock, we have our year-end show, and we recap all the different disciplines that we followed about the winners and the trainers and the owners and all the, you know, awards that go out to those different disciplines and different breeds. I hope everybody has a good holiday, safe holiday, Merry Christmas, and join us next week on International Equine Network.